Howdy, folks, and welcome to Moose Podcast number 480, Which Lens? What a week. My town started out with about 3 inches of snow on the ground. Now I see nothing but dirt and grass. It rained most of the week, and it was warm, and it's winter's gone at the moment. It's kind of sad in a way, what they're predicting we're going to see for the rest of my life, at least here. The interesting thing is that the critters, how they responded, when the snow was on the ground, and it makes biological sense, they were just hammering the feeders, the suet and the seed. And now there's grass. Birds are gone. It's kind of depressing. But lights are on the house. There's twinkles in the sky. It's nice to see stars. We had about almost a 10-day run of just cloudy days all day. It's winter. This episode of the Moose Podcast being brought to you again by the Adobe Beta Podcast Program. With their AI voice, it creates the transcript that you find on the blog post on the website, moosepeterson.com. You can find the podcast most places. YouTube, that's where it seems like everybody's looking at the moment. Spotify, a little bit of Amazon, and then the rest of it there on the website. Keep in mind, the website will have links to things that I talk about if relevant during the podcast. So you'll find all that there. I appreciate you guys reaching out and talking to me. Would love to have more conversations. Not that I'm lonely, but I like to feel like I'm helping a little bit more one-on-one. But I am very grateful for all the kind comments you folks happen to say. And last week, two of the links were goofed up. My apologies. You guys made me aware of that, and that's been resolved and taken care of. I'm afraid I have to tell you this. I'm not perfect. So, thank you, guys. It's been an interesting week. Manufacturers are kind of not doing much, but software is. I mean, there's like nicked updates, and if you're into video, that seems to be, and that could be that I'm not as in video as I should be, but it seems to be updating. Brought out some LUTs for the ZR from Red's Creative Library. Boy, that stuff, that's one of the things I'm trying to get better at during my quote-unquote break over the holidays, is I've been in class trying to figure out this video processing, finishing stuff. My poor instructor, I mean, it's like, wait, can you relate that to like a raw file?
Nope, can't, it's video.
Oh man, I'm floundering, but it's okay. I'm learning, painful, but I'm learning. So I'm hopefully going to be better at processing video, so I'm faster at it, so I'll shoot more and post more. It's a vicious cycle. I got that down pretty well with stills. Now I'm trying to do the same with video. Hey, I want to thank my good friends at Bedford. Bedfords.com. They're the ones that are sitting there helping me set up. I kind of built a new video recording studio, one of my goals for next year. Yeah, I'm a little early for New Year's resolution, but that's actually do a little bit more video recording classes that I can post to help you folks move your photography forward. So part of the reason I went to class is to figure out how to do all that and then build a studio to do all that. God, more around robin stuff. Got to do this, and this to do what I really want to do. But back to the point, Bedford's, they're getting this stuff to me, you know, little things like lights or clamps or desk stands and all these other good tools that they just have it all. Best part is I get to talk to someone who's actually seen it, used it, tried it. This one is built as well as this one. This one will hold this camera, or this one won't hold that camera. I mean, it's just, they have answers, and I get it. And dang, if it's not perfect, it does exactly what they said, what I need. That's the beauty of Bedford's. They got the great prices. They got the inventory. They've got the people. They got stores. You can call them. You can go on the web and sponsor the Moose Podcast. They are into photography and into us. Give them a little love this holiday season. They got all these holiday specials, including from Nikon. It's interesting what's going on with pricing and tariffs and stuff. Boy, what a mess. Anyway, Bedford's, they're helping us straighten it all out. So thank you, Bedford's, for sponsoring the Moose Podcast. Go into my gear locker on the right wall. There's lists. There's a list for wildlife, a list for landscape, a list for aviation. So if I'm going to go out on a project, they generally fall into those three categories. Now, I have a locker of gear, which is evolving. Sold some this year, bought some this year. And I already know that at least one thing I'll be buying next year, because January 1, I have a whole new equipment budget. Always the fun part of a new year. And I look at that list, be it for wildlife or landscape or aviation. And on there are body, lenses, accessories, tripods. And I look at the list for a couple of reasons. One, there's just a gap in the old memory. And when I say I think I need something and I start walking to get it, something interrupts me and I don't. And then if I don't have a list, it doesn't go on the trip. And it could be really a bad thing. Two, no one of those three lists has all the gear in my locker. They have the gear specifically that I think I need for aviation or wildlife or landscapes. So then my gear locker is getting siphoned down by genre. And then when I pack to go on a trip, it gets filtered down some more. But when it comes to which lens, what's really important is the lens you grab at that moment for what you're seeing to take a shot. This is a real common question. It's a real common dilemma. It is something that I think keeps some photographers up at night and not shooting during the day. Which lens? What always cracks me up is I'll go out shooting with friends or others and they'll watch me. They'll say, what lens? And I'll say a lens. A lot of times just to get the question out of the way so we can get to taking pictures and not playing, you know, technique school here. And I'll grab a lens that I just mentioned and feeling what's going on. And they'll watch me go out and I'll come right back, go to my camera bag, switch lenses and keep on shooting. And even though they see that I don't grab the lens, the time for the shot all the time, they keep asking. So that started this current, you know, trying to answer the question, which lens? And then I listened to some other instructors in classes talking about mastering lenses. And I'm like, you know, I remember not really that long ago when I thought I had master lenses, what a fool I was. Nobody masters which lens. I don't know why I was so stupid to think I had. That was just plain old arrogance. I just have to think about my own shooting out there. And I realize that, man, the number of times I grab the lens, it's not as many as the time I go back and change it out. I mean, there is a couple exceptions. I go do air to air. It's going to be the 7200. That's just, it's not like you have a bag of gear with you in the plane anyway. And it's just where everything gets set up for. I'm going to go photograph critters in the hide. It's going to be the 600 f4 with a 1.4. So some things are kind of a little bit, you know, a given. But when it's just going out and you're driving the wildlife loop in Custer or cruising the beach in Oregon or doing the, you know, it just the list can go on and on. You're going to have, besides you're in the back of the vehicle, your bag of confidence, your select lenses that you brought on that particular adventure. Which one to grab? First, in all honesty, let's talk about this really quite quite succinctly. Does it matter? I mean, I'm being very serious here. You're going to get out and take that shot. And a year from now, will you have made the perfect shot that forever will be like the last perfect shot? Odds are slim. So putting pressure on yourself to get the lens, why? I mean, it shouldn't be stay fun? Two, like I mentioned a million, thousand, gazillion times, failure is part of this. And, you know, if you don't get the right lens, that's a real typical kind of way of failing. And what? You should learn from it. Should. I'm saying should because just watching how folks operate, they don't look at their photographs they've taken before and look at the focal lengths and say, I should do this, that, the other. If you head to one of my KLB 1 classes, you'll see where I actually go into quite detail about how I go into bridge and I look at, you can look at bridge and it'll show you, like, depending on how your images are sorted and organized, but like I go to my landscape shots, I can see the lenses that I've used for this, that, the other, the different focal lengths, click on it, and it'll show me the actual images. I can do my own homework right then and there and start deciding before I even get out and see a scene what lens I'm probably going to take. And as you might imagine, yes, I do that. Probably more than is I should be on a couch talking about this to some doctor. I do it too much, perhaps. No, perhaps I do that. So people don't learn from the own successes. So that's a failure to me. That's just a failure. I mean, you got to grow, right? Or else you're always going to say, which lens? But here, I even try to kind of verbalize a starting point for lenses, strictly starting point. So for example, you get out of a vehicle and your head goes up, goes down, goes left and right, and you take a lot in. That might mean you should have some like a 14 to 24 lens on there. If you get out of the vehicle and you just kind of move your eyes up and down, back and forth, not your whole head, just your eyes. Perhaps you just need a 24 to 70. If you don't move your eyes or your head and you start looking out, you might start off at 85, 105 millimeter, depending on the distance, the size of the subject, you might go longer. Now, these, are, of course, are simply simple starting points. And I've tried to help people with the question, which lens with that? Yeah, it doesn't seem to work. So then I've been thinking about it, and then I was listening to a person this past week, and then it, you know, I kind of, for myself, it kind of clicked. Which lens? Which lens? The answer is simple. Ah, been talking about that quite a bit lately. I've been thinking about it a lot lately. As I count my blessings, it's because of the awe that I get to cherish. Ah, oh, God, sway so much. I'm incredibly fortunate. I was driving to breakfast Saturday, and it was a gorgeous morning. It was a gorgeous morning. And to get out and shoot, since I had been thinking about it, I said, what lens, which lens is going to capture the awe I'm feeling? Not the lens that's going to include these elements, exclude these elements, it's going to help me do the dance, it's going to allow me to arrange the elements. What lens is going to bring back the awe to share with others? That's what I was thinking about. And that process, I said, you know what? That's what I think I'm doing. I've probably been doing it, perhaps, majority of my career, and it never dawned on me. It was strictly about awe. Not patterns or shapes or colors. That goes into the process. But when it comes to which lens captures the awe? Now, what is the biggest problem with this revelation I came across? Yeah, then you have to describe awe. And then you have to figure out how you're going to bring it into a viewfinder. And then what are we back to? A round robin again, right? So there is no carved in stone encyclopedic kind of answer to which lens. Perhaps it's not the question we should be asking about our camera gear when we're out shooting. Shouldn't be asking which lens. Perhaps we should say something like, what's the best lens to bring home the awe? And perhaps with that question, we will know which lens. Coming down to what? 10 days till Christmas? I'm so behind. I hope you guys are doing well on that task, remembering all those people that make our lives special. I appreciate you being here and making my day and week special. You guys take care. And remember to make every click your story.